Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Are you tired of waiting for something? Have you been asking God for several days, weeks, months, maybe even years about a certain area of your life that you just need to answer in or need some help in? Well, I hope you'll be encouraged today in today's program. I want to talk to you about four things that God's taught me in my 53 years of life when I've been waiting for God to answer a prayer. Basing this off Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. That's Psalm 27, 14. I love in that two times it mentions the word wait, of course, but it tells us to do it confidently twice in that verse 2. So while you're waiting, simply you have to be confident that God's going to answer. And yet we know when we have to wait that it develops our character, it develops perseverance in us, things that we need as followers of Jesus, and that God knew we would need those. But I want to share four things here in the 10 minutes we have left today that we can learn while we're waiting. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's four things that God's taught me, and I'm a simple guy. I like to put on the lower shelf, so I just use the acronym WAIT, spelled out the word WAIT, W-A-I-T. The first thing that I've learned while waiting for God to answer a prayer, instead of asking what, instead ask why. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Instead of asking why, ask what, okay? What is it, God, that you're trying to teach me? Instead of, why, God, is this happening to me? Say, God, what is it you're trying to teach me? So many times we can either play the victim or we can say, you know what? I'm going to be a survivor of this thing that happened that I didn't want, that was painful, it was disappointing, it wasn't fair. Yet, instead of being a victim, I'm going to be a survivor. And what the enemy meant for evil, I'm going to use for good. And you say, well, it just doesn't seem fair. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times, and those of you that have had many seasons of life under your belt like me, life isn't fair. You're right. This is not heaven. This is not our home. This is all temporary. And I've heard Rick Warren say many times, and it screams to me so often in my own life, that God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. You know, I like it nice and easy, man. I want life as comfortable as I can. But if he's wanting to teach me discipline and love and forgiveness and to be generous, things like that, and sometimes it involves being comfortable, but a lot of times it doesn't. And he's developing my character, and he wants to do that in your life too, not because he's punishing you, but because God loves you. And Jesus modeled what it was to give. In John 3:16, remember it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God modeled giving by giving his best, his one and only Son, Jesus, for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14 also reminds us that enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both came from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. You know, friends, as I get older, I just realize how little control I have over things. I'm learning to try to just be thankful that I have breath in the morning, that I can get out of bed on my own. A friend of mine was in a motorcycle accident recently and broke both his arms and both his wrists. And so you can imagine how challenging life is going to be for him over the next few months because he doesn't have the use of his arms or hands. So if you're in a good season of life, just thank the Lord and just say, thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. And as I've shared numerous times over the almost 18 months now that we've done this program, that, you know, so many times in life, there could be maybe 10 things going on in our life that are, and 8 of them are really good. But what do we focus on? We focus on the two that aren't going good. And the enemy loves that. He wants to taunt you about those two things and not be thankful for the blessing of the 8 good things. But, you know, if you're in a season of prosperity, if your family's healthy and you've got some money in the bank and you're able to take a vacation and you've got a car that runs and you've got food to eat, you know, you're blessed. You're blessed. Over half the world lives on less than $5.50 a day. And to be honest with you, I've not got to take a vacation in the last 2 years. Man, I miss it. I love going to the beach. Destin, Florida is my favorite places. Back when I had my business and had lots of money, I got to go to the Cayman Islands and went to Hawaii twice. But the last few years, I've not even been able to afford to take a vacation. And so, you know what? It's made me be a lot more appreciative of those times that I did get to do those things. And yet I'm thankful for the clothes and the house and the car that I have and food to eat. So enjoy prosperity while you can, but know that sometimes that hard times are going to strike. So instead of asking God, why has this happened to me, say, God, what is it you're trying to teach me? What do I need to learn from this? The second thing that I've learned while waiting, in a season of waiting for God to answer a prayer, is to simply ask for prayer. The letter A, ask for prayer. I know that sounds simple, but so many times we try to do life on our own, and we get isolated, and we get discouraged. I heard Wayne Smith say one time that he believes that discouragement is one of Satan's greatest tools. He uses it to just help us lose hope. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 reminds us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we're supposed to share one another's burdens. I've just been so often reminded of the simple fact that when Jesus came to save all of us, that he didn't try to do it by himself, that he chose 12 guys, chose a team of 12, and they were a group of misfits. If we were doing it today and they were breaking it down like they do Kentucky basketball recruits and their strengths and weaknesses, there's no way that these guys would have got approval by all of us so-called religious leaders. He didn't go to the to see all the religious scholars. He picked 12 guys with faults, things that just, you know, they struggled with, and yet he changed the world with those 12. And they did life together. And when Jesus was praying right before he went to the cross, remember, he had Peter, James, and John with him, asked them to pray for him and stay awake. And of course, they let him down when he came out of that intense prayer session with God before he went to the cross. They were asleep. So Jesus knows what it's like to be down. But even he, the Son of God, asked for prayer. Jeremiah 29:12 says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. Isn't that encouraging? No, the very one that gave you breath today says that when you pray, I will listen. That's Jeremiah 29:12. Jesus also said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Are you weary today from just praying and not getting an answer to something for several months, even years? Well, I encourage you that Jesus just wants you to come to him and just give this to him, your disappointments, your heartache, your loneliness, the rejection, being overlooked, underpaid, overworked, forgotten, unappreciated. The list goes on and on. But Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Friends, there is rest in Jesus. My mom spoke some truth to me one time when I was in full-time, just got started in full-time ministry back in 2003 when I got ordained and started working at a church and was just loving it, but was working a lot. And one day she just kind of said to me, you know, she sent me a card and said, you know, I've noticed some heaviness in your voice and just, you know, maybe a little bit of negativity and just not God-honoring stuff. And she said, I want to encourage you that there is no burnout in Jesus. In other words, I was trying to do too much of it on my own, doing a lot of good things for God instead of just being with God and also setting some boundaries and establishing some rest. So third thing that we can learn while we're waiting, intensify your time with God. You know, sometimes when we get weary and we get discouraged, instead of running to God, we run away from God. Because Satan taunts us and says, oh, God's not even listening. But I want to remind you what God's word says. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if you search for God with all your heart and soul, you will find him. You know, God loves to speak to his kids, and we've heard about that earlier. Kurt Vernon shared some great stories this week. If you missed any of those programs, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and listen to those 14-minute programs about how God is a God of provision. I think you'd be really blessed by that. I also want to encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes or leave us a review on iTunes or on the Podbean app. Subscribe and follow us. Leave a review. It would really help people be able to find us more and be able to bless and help provide others hope a lot more easily. So please subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on the YouTube channel. And so I want to encourage you to do those things, subscribe, and also leave a review. So far we talked about four things we can learn while waiting. The letter W, asking God, what are you trying to teach me, instead of why is this happening? Letter A, asking for prayer. The letter I, intensifying your time with God. The letter T, the fourth thing that I've learned while waiting, is I can trust God. I can trust God. The letter T, simply trust God. My Aunt Wanda is one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met, and unfortunately, she got sick at, I believe, the age of 62, and just started feeling bad and went to the doctor and had a form of cancer. I believe it was stomach cancer. I may be wrong on the exact cancer, but unfortunately, 6 weeks later, she died. And was just one of the sweetest, godliest women I've ever met, just a sweet, sweet spirit. And yet she told her kids, and I've never forgotten this, it's been almost 10 years ago now, I believe it has been 10 years. I may not always understand God, but I trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 has really helped me during times of just doubt. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 have been verses that have helped me a lot when I just couldn't understand God and was having a hard time trusting him. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Romans 8:28, a verse that we use a lot on Hope Is Here. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who have love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And friends, sometimes God's purpose for our life is different than our plans. It's, remember the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not Greg's will, not John's will, not Steve's will, not Julie's will, not Lisa's will, not Sherry's will. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on of how we think about, you know, God, this is what I'd like to do, and bless it. But don't get me wrong. The Bible tells us in Psalms that delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of our heart. But we got to do that first part, delight ourselves in the Lord. And his ways are much better than our ways. And the last thing I want to share with you about things that we can learn while we're waiting, I want to quote my Aunt Wanda that, like I said, unfortunately got a rare form of cancer and died in 6 weeks. But she said, you know, I've taught you, her two daughters and her son, I've taught you to live as a Christian, and now I will teach you to die as a Christian. And that's that great reminder today that we need to die to self and just ask Jesus, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to confidently expect you. I'm going to be strong and let my heart take courage. Yes, I will wait for and confidently expect the Lord. That's Psalm 27:14, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.